Oh. Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show for episode 5 of Far Verona. Look, we did it. It started. It happened.
Hopefully
so this time we can all have a conversation that is going to get cut off halfway through and then just leave me and Ron's talking for like 45 minutes.
Hey, that was funny. Welcome.
So these kinds of episodes are always interesting to me because first of all, I think that like investigative stuff can be hard to do in a role-playing game. Like, I think a lot of the time when you're playing a game that's like Call of Cthulhu is the number one like problem with this one, where it's like the GM has all the information. So I'm like, I know all the stuff and all the clues and whatever. And then you have to make rolls to get the clues. But if you don't get the rolls, then what am I supposed to do? Be like, you hit a dead end. So we'll just sit here for 3 hours trying to like, so I've been trying to make sure that there are like hard paths and easy paths. And I think you picked that up. I saw some of this where you were like, well, okay, we have a clue. We could go on it right now, or we could continue doing work and so deal with the, like the time frame thing. So I've kind of tried to make sure something interesting is always happening, even if you're not necessarily pursuing the mystery. But it also means that we end up with little like sub teams, right? The party splitting up. So it was interesting kind of seeing that, that happen. How is everybody feeling about their progress on this particular mission? Are you feeling like it's going well? What's your thoughts, everybody?
I do feel like I was a little harsh on Yancey. It probably wasn't the proper way to, you know, go about it, but you know, that it makes sense for Booker, kind of. That's his character flaw. If you're
I thought it was a good opportunity, and I'm really interested, and Ann, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I'm really interested to see, because it feels to me like the group is, Booker is like, I don't know anything about how police organizations are structured, but I think Booker is like the lieutenant, and then Nomi is the sergeant, and then everybody else is like the detectives, like the cops that work for them. Because it feels like Nomi is the one who, when Booker does something, Nomi's like, we're gonna talk about this later.
Voice
so I'm curious about
sure.
I'm curious about that, like that conversation later on down the line. What do you think, Anne? Are you kind of like keeping an eye on how Booker is operating?
I mean, I wouldn't say it like that. I think just like we are working together, and I think that we both have kind of like the similar goals and stuff, and just maybe not the same way of approaching situations. Like, I definitely, like, yeah, I was calling Yancey out, and I wanted to like talk to him about the fact that he just bailed on us, right? Like, we were all in danger and he just ran away.
Yeah.
Which is not what a soldier should do in that situation. Like, you should stay with everyone and or like follow the orders of the person leading the squad, which would be Booker. So I did want to call him out on it, but threatening him and being like, you could just go die and like no one would care was not like necessarily the way that I wanted to phrase it, or like not the way that Nomi would approach that situation. So yeah, I think it's like a very much a, like we're working together and we just have different approaches.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't regret threatening him, because that's how Booker is. Like, yeah. I regret calling him a shit soldier in front of everyone to his face, like in private. You know, that was kind of where Booker was like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, he really doesn't have a lot of patience for people that are noble, know-it-all, fucking my shit doesn't stink and you can't touch me, you know, no respect for the chain of command. But yeah, I think Booker has come to use and rely on Nomi as like more or less a kind of like equal in advisor, not equal in rank, you know, obviously, but advisor, you know, he really respects what Nomi's thoughts are on them. And everybody. That's why I've been very consciously as a player, and also just as Booker, it makes sense to me that, you know, in order to unify his group, he's gonna, you know, lean on them a little bit more. So it's not just like, you do what I say, you know, unless the situation really, really calls for it. And it seems like it's been working. And also, obviously, for the sake of RP, it kind of gets everybody involved. Hopefully, at least that's the thought.
Yeah, I would love to see in the next session a conversation like about that in character, like not a confrontation between the two of you, but like one of those characters saying like, hey, so let's talk about how that went with Yancey, especially in contrast to Yancey's shoot happy behavior that we had off screen, or off screen from you. So yeah, I think that would be,
in light of recent events that just happened, it's going to be even more interesting to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because Booker is probably going to be going from a stance of like, yeah, I fucked up maybe on that a little bit. But now it's like, justified?
Well, sort of. Yeah, I mean, not how really. Do you think, Riley, how do you think that's going to go? Like, what do you think the next bit is for you and Yancey? Like, he just shot somebody.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't know how Riley feels about that, because the whole, like, it's weird, because, like, I think when we play role-playing games, like, and you actually mentioned this a couple episodes ago, where, Adam, you were saying how the PCs always jump to, like, the most extreme, like...
Yes, human life is irrelevant to most player characters in a role-playing game, where they're just, like...
You just escalate everything all the time. And I always find it amusing that a lot of the time chat thinks that I want this guy dead, when in reality, it's, like, that's not the case at all. It's more of, like... But I don't think I was wrong, or rather, Riley doesn't think she was wrong, but she slipped up. And that's because it was like a angry moment. It was a heated moment. And he performed so poorly in that moment when he killed that woman that she had an outburst that she would not have normally had. And so all that slip up has now created problems for her. But her reaction to that isn't, I'm going to kill this guy, because that's an extreme reaction to anything.
Right.
Like, I'm going to kill this dude.
I think most people in real life, and like we, despite the addition of like sci-fi stuff and psychic powers, the characters in this universe are not so far removed from humans that their situation is so, so different. Like, we're not talking about like a post-apocalyptic wasteland or something here. Like, you're all still humans with the same, more or less the same like moral structures. I certainly have never been in a position where I have been so angry with someone that I have plotted to kill them.
Yeah.
But it seems like PCs, because it's not so much like a thing, which is why I think that Yancey seemingly just being like, well, fuck this guy, and killing him, like, it's not a big deal to him, should say something more about Yancey, that he's like the aberration. He's the weird, the weird guy in this situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Riley's not like a stone cold killer. Even like back at the Scorpion or whatever, my goal was to like drug him and get him out of the way, so to speak, but not to like kill him. And so the entire situation that just went down, I feel like if anything, it's just reinforced to Riley that this guy is kind of far gone. Like, it's like, how do you explain to someone that, like, well, the whole reason I bartered information with this guy was, first of all, to put incriminating evidence in his hands. And second of all, to like, because then I could easily just put in a phone call into the Red Dogs and just say that he has too much information on them and they could deal with my problem for me if I need to. Or I could just blackmail him with that. There was like, I was trying every other solution to that problem, and it didn't even occur to him, not even once, like, that this was a terrible thing to do. I know people are still going to defend him and be like, well, you dropped his name and this, that, and the other. But the thing is, like, there were so many different ways to handle that than this, like, and Yancey is the epitome of that, like, the PCs jumping to the most extreme conclusion, like, oh, this person's going to go for the phone, blow up the phone. Oh, they're going to do this, kill them. Like, it's like, whoa, calm down. We could just have him take a seat and keep an eye on him. If he goes for the phone, I'll tackle him. Like, you know, but it's just like this most extreme reaction to everything possible. That's Yancey personified.
Well, I think, I mean, I think the thing that I'm trying to sort of illustrate for him is that he doesn't consider people who are less like on his social like level, people below him in the hierarchy, he doesn't consider to be people. So for him, it was like, well, this guy's just going to endanger me and my entitlement, so I'm going to get rid of him. So, Mark, your character didn't die.
I didn't
die.
You
got some cool drugs, and you didn't die. Yeah, you played it safe. There was a moment there where I was like, if somebody doesn't kill this drone in the first like volley, there is a chance that you could get killed. Yeah. But
that's what I was afraid of.
So we're seeing the like the injury and close to death arc. I think we're starting to see the good payoff on Anne taking the healer ability.
Yeah, for sure. Holy shit,
that's
dude.
A big deal.
And it's really cool because obviously, you know, the kind of backstory I created for Jason, like, yeah, it's kind of nice that it kind of triggers some of those things, like it kind of brings some of those things back up, which is always nice when you kind of get to, you know, bring up some of your characters kind of like past and make it relevant to what's going on now. And I kind of while all the investigation stuff's been going on as well, like if Far Verona is like a sci-fi TV show, and I said this in Twitch chat, but I genuinely think it's like a, it's true. I like that Jason's moments are like these kind of like the more sort of just like, yeah, he's sitting there chatting with the soldiers about what just happened. You know, he's the one trying to kind of say thank you awkwardly for saving, you know, he has like less of the sort of like action-y moments and more of these kind of like, while all the plot stuff's going on, he's like the human element kind of thing, because that also ties into the type of character I want him to be. So that's kind of nice. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, that's, and that's the thing is it's, it can be a bit hard when your character is the character that, that sort of stands out as the contrast, right? Rather than being like, yeah, you're just like a part of this larger thing. You are, you're there to contrast it. Which I think this early on, I think is fine. It just does mean that for now, there are more of these kind of like Picaresque like scenes of you just like hanging out and playing cards with the other guys and like trying to make friends and like the human angle. And I think a lot of the time, at least in my experience, like games will develop this where one character is the sort of relatable, like focused mostly on human stuff rather than on like solving psi crimes and like killing synths and like being a, so like it's cool, but it can also be a little like alienating. Like you tend to not be as like connected to the same stuff as the other characters. How is that going? I know you mentioned wanting to feel like, or wanting to like get more kind of involved, but given that think, you have a place in the narrative, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think like with the other thing is like it's that and like Max called, like when he has to do the piloting, like that's when I'm hoping that he'll kind of be able to prove himself. And I think that, you know, there's almost an element of playing up to this, like he does feel a bit useless, he does feel a bit sort of like, I don't really know, like you have a House Serpent super spy psychic lady who he just does not understand. Like he's trying to be nice and he's just like, man,
that scene
I want to befriend and stuff. You know, he genuinely does really appreciate her saving, you know, his life and stuff, but he just can't make that connection. Booker is this incredibly, you know, well-trained, veteran, experienced person that he respects and he looks up to and doesn't feel like he can really provide much use to. And then Riley is the other side of things where she is this kind of, you know, because he is a noble and he was raised around this idea, like he sees her like a worker in like his parents' foundries. Like he's like, she's nice, I like her, but you know, I can't connect with her on the same level because of status and stuff. So he does feel a bit alienated, but I like that. Like me as a player, I like that. And like, I will happily just sit here and like totally just enjoy being immersed in all of that. And I think that as he gets to do more piloting and as he spends more time in missions, he's going to more develop the skills that he needs to do stuff. But yeah, I think that that we're still in fish out of water territory for Jason. So
yeah cool. Well, as long as you're feeling it and you're seeing your contribution, because sometimes it can feel weird being like, I'm outside of the thing and I don't feel like I'm impacting it, but like you're impacting the overall narrative if not necessarily being in the group with everybody.
And I like, you know, sometimes he has the moments where like when we go on the missions, like he'll try and keep up that kind of guard role of like, I'll stand at the back and try, and if anybody comes closer, I'll provide cover and stuff like that. Like he knows he's the strong boy. So I'll still enjoy those elements as well.
Cool. Well, yeah. I wanted to make sure I had a chance to ask. So Anne, talk a little bit about your turning over your guy to the loyalty brigade.
Yeah. That was fucking so good. So fucking good.
So I want to clarify, because I saw a couple people saying things that were just like not true about Nomi's relationship with Barnes. Because they said that he was like an uncle figure, that he was a family friend. He wasn't actually my uncle. He wasn't actually like a member of my family. And also, Nomi is...
When I said, like, he's family, like, you're part of the same house. So, like, there's some distant familial, like, relationship there. But no, it definitely isn't, like...
Yeah, he wasn't, like, my dad's brother. Like, we weren't actually, like, blood related. We just were from, like, the same house. But... if you remember when he was like introduced, that guy like basically just like left the Empire and was hiding out on Honglu, right? Like he wasn't like in Nomi's eyes, he wasn't like a loyal Serpens. And she doesn't like that. So she like didn't really like him to start with, but he was a means to an end that I like needed information from him and played on kind of that connection with my you know, like, yeah, you were an old family friend, so help me out. And then like, maybe I can help you. But I mentioned in the chat, like even last week, I was pretty much waiting for like the right moment to just be like, mm-hmm. all right, fuck off and like, give us the information. I don't actually care about you. It happened to work out in that situation where those guys were like, okay, cool. Like we'll take them away and you can have the information and you're good. And like, so I'm, you know, that's cool. We got out of there. I did expect that there would be some blowback from that because he didn't actually, you know, die. And I was like, he's going to rat us out. So I'm curious to see how that goes, but yeah.
Yeah. I thought that whole thing was great. And it's nice to, I don't want to say that it was like unexpected exactly, because I feel like that's just like, it's part of something the character would do. It felt on character and stuff, but it was just really cool to see it. It was cool to be like, oh, this is happening now. Okay. This is where we're going with this character. I really liked it. And it was nice. Like I tried to sort of illustrate that. And I try to do this in character with NPCs and stuff as much as I can, where rather than just me as a person being like, here's what I think about that, I will have an NPC that illustrates the way the world kind of sees that. And I wanted to do that through Holtzman, who was like, whoa, like don't fuck with Nomi. Like she's serious. Yeah. Which I thought
was, I think Nomi I see as like the kind of like she's mostly keeps to herself and seems like she's very much like on the right side of the law, like is doing what is good for the crew. And then there's like kind of this dark undercurrent of like, I will fuck your shit up if it's going to serve me in the way that I want it to. So,
yeah, it's a really good way to keep people under control. It's a shame Yancey didn't see that. He probably would have admired that particular action. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's obviously there's lots of stuff in the episode, but that's all the stuff that I kind of wanted to address. Anybody else have parting thoughts before we take our leave?
No? Next episode will be interesting.
No complaints from you, Max.
That was a dramatic.
Yeah. No complaints. No complaints. I still don't know why. That was just like something your brain spit out. You're like, why the hell did you say that?
It happens to everybody. Yeah, no complaints. And I love it. And I will never forget it.
I think it's funny. I almost said it today too. I'm like, you know, no complaints.
It's a fine episode. No complaints. Well, cool. Yeah. So we'll be back next time with more Far Verona. Thank you, of course, for tuning in and watching. Yeah. If you're watching this, you are a patron. So if you haven't already, connect your Patreon account to your Discord and check out the Discord server. There's like 3,000 people playing freeform space RPG. You can pick a faction and join up. And if you're watching this before Friday, June 28th, 9th, make sure you check out the faction turn, because that's where the real action is. Thanks for coming, everybody. We will see you after the next episode.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.